you were supposed to be at lunch. Why were you not at lunch?
David, stop acting like a disgruntled pelican.
I came home from lunch because I realized I misplaced my portfolio.
Oh, yeah. So we're gonna look for it.
David,
we're
looking for your mother's portfolio. Oh, okay. Hello, Johnny Rose. You are...
Jake.
Yes, welcome, Jake. I see David's made you feel right at home.
Okay, Dad.
John.
No, I'm just saying carry on doing whatever you're doing or not doing. I see things are wrapping up
got
here.
It. So, got it, so much.
Oh, my God.
Alexis, this is Jake. We seem to have caught the boys in
an afternoon delight. Is that term still a going thing?
Oh, no. Never say that again.
Don't do that.
Welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We are a Shits Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series and we're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you excited? Season 3?
Yes, season 3.
We're 13 episodes from being halfway through.
I'd like to say we're moving right along, but...
Well...
Maybe not.
We're not moving backwards, and we're not stalled out anymore. So something's happening. Okay, all right. I appreciate the optimism for how we're going to continue on here through all of this. Before we get started, thank you, everybody, for listening. Normally, at the end, I talk about, rating and reviewing the show on iTunes I think it's Apple Podcasts now. They've made a name change, or wherever you get it. But maybe some people don't stay till the very end where you finish with the episode and you turn it off. So if that's the case, make sure you give us a review or at least a star rating and a review wherever you get the show. It helps other people find us, so we would greatly appreciate that. That's right. We are into season 3. We're starting season 3, episode 1,
yes,
called Opening Night. The original air date of this episode was January 10th of 2017. So we're out of 2016. We've turned the calendar year. Right. Now we're into 2017. This is directed by T.W. Peacock. Brand new director.
I was going to say, somebody new.
Not a name we've heard of before. He's originally from Pittsburgh and now works primarily in Canada. He will direct 7 of the 13 episodes in this season, but nothing beyond season 3. He's a pretty accomplished TV director since the early 90s, directing episodes of show we've talked about like The Jane Show, Heartland, Rookie Blue, Dark Matter, and Haven. These are all shows that people in this show have been...
Right, yeah, they're all familiar titles.
Yeah, associated with before. Since his stint on Schitt's Creek, he's directed episodes of The Good Witch and something titled When Hope Calls. In 2019, he directed his first 2 movies of his career, both Hallmark movies.
Oh.
Winter Love Story, which sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
And Christmas in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Which also sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Definitely.
So we will be talking about him, as, or at least bringing his name up as the season progresses. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, this episode was written by Dan Levy.
Okay.
He tends to have his mitts all over first and last episodes.
His mitts? Wow.
His lovely paws. I don't know. His hands.
His writing credits tend to be...
He tends to write...
That's a nicer
write,
way to say it.
Okay, yeah. He tends to write the first and last episodes of the season. And then every now and then sprinkles himself in there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's open this episode up at the motel.
Yes. Yes, Moira has come into David looking for her portfolio. She has a very important first, I guess, council meeting to attend in the day. And
I like how nervous she seems. Not like I guess it's nervous. She talks about perhaps it was a dream. Like, you know, if you have something important at work or you're starting a new job, you may have a dream about it beforehand.
Yeah.
But she's buzzing all around because, as we've sort of discussed, this is the first, I don't want to say thing she has to do in the town, but this is really, she's starting a new career?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is the first thing she has to do.
Yeah, the first thing she's obligated to do. The first thing that's not a hobby like the jazz accounts.
Well, right. That's true. Yes. Yeah, so she's looking for her portfolio. She just assumes that David probably was bedazzling it, which he informs her he's not done that since he was 22.
22.
Right. Remember bedazzlers? I feel like I know of them. I never had one. I never used one.
I never used one. My sister had one.
Okay. I was going to say, well, kind of makes sense that you would not have used one.
Well, but, I guess. You know, I mean, yeah. I never had a portfolio to bedazzle.
I don't think you bedazzled when I was portfolios. I think it was like clothing and things like that. I don't know.
Yes.
That's what I thought it would be. I think the modern day version is the blinger. Our kids have a blinger that they can put like little jewelry things
all over. Yeah, but I thought the bedazzler was more, I don't want to say more professional. And maybe I think this just because we were kids. But
it seemed super professional.
Didn't it have like a front and
like
a back?
Like little prongy things? And yeah. Like, I don't know.
The
I
thing
never
our kids
one.
Have, it's just glue. Like it just sticks yeah. these things okay. to stuff that right, they fall well, off of immediately.
At any rate, we don't really know much about it, but David apparently
it's
does.
A thing, yes.
It is a thing.
If you're yeah. under the age I of, let's say, 30, you might not know what a bedazzler is. You may not have had one.
But I don't know. I don't know what its lifespan was.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure. Right. Maybe it was around for a really long time. It just kind of missed us a little bit.
Our bedazzler podcast is coming up right after this one.
Oh, we're going to do in-depth bedazzler research.
Right. We should do a podcast about toys and such that we never had but always wanted. Snoopy Snow Cone Maker is one.
That I wanted or you?
I wanted it.
Oh, I always wanted that too.
You never had it either?
No. Uh-huh. Although I think my mom got it for me like when I was an adult. Like when I was in college.
Like,
she finally realized
she's
that
like,
I
you
wanted
finally
one.
Earned this.
And I don't know whatever happened to it. Like, I don't know. We probably made a snow cone once and we're like, this is a piece of garbage and threw it away.
You don't know what happened to it? It's got to be in the attic. If we go to the attic at your parents' house, I bet we'd find that Snoopy snow cone maker.
I don't know. My brother would know.
All right.
He would know if
well,
it was there.
Contact your brother after we're done recording our podcast.
Right. Enough of 80s toys.
Yeah.
Or 90s. The bedazzler again, I don't know. But let's get back into our episode.
Sure. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing
yes,
here.
Because Moira was in for a big surprise because there was a motel guest.
Oh, yes. And not Roland as in the previous episode.
Not Roland
no, two episodes ago. Right.
And crying to music.
No. Yes. Yeah, Jake, we saw him at the end. I mean, we saw him last episode.
Yes, they necked out by the barn in the last episode.
They sure did.
They did.
But he is there, shirtless.
Well, he comes out of the bathroom.
Right.
Like he has just showered.
Oh, yeah.
He's wrapped in a towel. And of course, this is all the rage that David has a boy over.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is horrified because he assumed no one was supposed to be home. You know, everybody was supposed to be about their day, which, like, where would they all
where
have been?
Where would they? Well.
I mean, I guess he assumed Moira had her meeting, Johnny was going to be in his office space in a garage,
sure.
And Alexis was out for an all-day run? I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm unsure of, because shouldn't she be at the veterinary hospital?
Oh, very true. Maybe it was her day off.
Maybe.
Because I don't think she was in scrubs.
Maybe she came home for lunch.
Maybe.
No, you're right. She would be wearing scrubs.
I don't think she, I don't remember, but I don't think that she was. And of course, one of Moira's very amazing lines is that she addresses David and asks him that he should really stop acting like a disgruntled pelican. Because he's very flustered and very self-conscious and very horrified by the fact that now his family has realized that he's had an afternoon delight, as Johnny refers to it.
Can I tell you, it was very funny. There's so many, you know, Facebook forums and or pages and stuff that deals with this show. And there was one person on there, and I hope they're listening because this was...
That's very hopeful.
I know.
Somebody in this world is listening to us.
Okay, I know it's very specific, but someone on there had a question, and they said that their wife bought them a koozie. okay. with this phrase on, the disgruntled pelican phrase. And his question was, do they spell pelican different in Canada? Because if not, was, this is messed up.
Oh, it was spelled
and
wrong.
Everybody responded, and they're like, no, they spell it the same. And he's like, no. Oh, no.
So he has a koozie that it's spelled wrong?
That is misspelled pelican, yeah.
Well, that's really sad.
Yes.
If he reaches out to us, we will send him a corrected. We'll find him a koozie that's corrected.
You know what? Send it to us. We'll use Sharpie. We'll just put a big X through it and write it underneath the correct way.
I was trying to be nice. I was saying we would. Seek out a place and find okay. good one.
Reach out and let us know if you need that.
Yeah. And so, if you know him, let him know he's special.
Yeah, let him know.
If he's a friend of yours,
right, yes.
do tell him.
So you're right that Johnny also shows up. It's a big to-do.
Everybody shows up, yeah. Like right. Johnny walks in.
Alexis walks in
and she's like, I thought we had an agreement that right. this would not be happening when anyone was home. And of course, David again, totally flustered.
Yes.
No one was supposed to be home. He's just horrified. And of course, as we've seen from Jake, he has this very cool, laid-back demeanor.
Totally
and he
cool. yes.
takes it all in stride. He's not yeah. bothered by it.
I think it's odd that David would risk this. Now, I don't know Jake's living situation. Maybe he has multiple roommates. Who knows what's going on there?
We know that.
Well, I know that. Yeah. But I just, it
or
doesn't...
Or his wood shop, sorry.
Yes, it seems very unlike David to even risk that nobody would be around. That they wouldn't even run into Stevie, let's say. We'll get there in a minute. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Or maybe he's hoping to run into Stevie to show her what's what.
Maybe. That's true, since there was a little bit of contention
right.
between the two
yes.
of them in the finale of season two. So after this horrifying scene for David, which in a way, I guess no matter what, that would be awkward. I mean, you know, obviously his family is very well aware of his...
Yeah.
You know.
But
like,
I don't think it's a situation you want to be in regardless of
yeah.
what. Even when it was he and Stevie. Like, that's
true.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Anyway, let's go to somewhere we have not been in so long. Johnny's office.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've been
Bob's
wondering
garage.
What's been happening here.
Apparently lots of things because somebody else is sharing the space with him and he didn't even know it. So maybe does that mean Johnny hasn't been in his office often?
I am so confused as to what's
Or do
what's
you think,
happening.
Like, they're, you know, like maybe Johnny's there in the morning and Bob's like, says to Cal, hey, he's never here in the afternoon. This is free for you to come and use. Or is this just a...
This just seemed totally new.
You can
new.
Share the
like,
desk.
I don't... You would assume that if somebody is sharing an office with you, you would figure it out before you see them.
Oh, I would think
You know
think
what I mean?
So, yeah, like, I would think they would leave.
It makes it sound like this just happened this morning
maybe.
Where this guy showed up.
Well, Cal has a very good antivirus business. It's booming,
yeah,
apparently.
Right. He was able to fix Bob's
fix
computer.
He can fix computers over the phone.
Over the phone.
Right.
He didn't even have to look at it.
Right. Yeah. You know, in which, of course, Johnny's like, he's running a scam
yeah,
business.
It sounds
like, what
like
is
a scam.
This?
Yes.
And then, you know, Bob is basically like, I guess I could keep you both here, but there's a cardboard box over there in the corner if you want to pack up your things. So basically, Bob has pretty much sent the message to Johnny that he needs to pack up and move on.
Yeah. It
hit the road, Johnny.
And I don't quite understand why. Maybe it's because Cal fixed his computer. Or I don't think Cal's paying him for office space. He brings this up, though, to Johnny, that Johnny's not paying for the office space.
Right.
But maybe Cal's just helping out. Maybe Cal hasn't sold someone else's car in a day, and he's like, maybe you should stay. But let's talk about Cal, because Cal is played by Maxwell McCabe. I'm going to say Lockos, L-O-C-K-O-S.
I don't know. What is that? His name?
Yes.
Oh,
it's a hyphenated.
Okay, you didn't explain that. I was like, I don't know.
Sorry. I will, from now on, I'll say McCabe hyphen Lockos.
Sure. Let's go with that.
So he's an actor, writer, director.
Oh, he's very busy.
But most of his credits are acting credits, series that we've talked about, like Killjoys and 12 Monkeys. But he's also been in movies such as Max Payne, Lars and the Real Girl, and The Incredible Hulk. The Edward Norton Incredible Hulk, not the Eric Bana Incredible Hulk or the Mark Ruffalo Incredible Hulk.
I don't know what any of those Incredible
Hulks
are.
Anyway, he was in one of the
Incredible Hulks. I just know the guy, Lou Ferrigno. He's the only one I'm familiar with.
He wasn't in the TV show either.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know any of those. You could have told me that this guy was the Incredible Hulk, and I totally would have believed you.
Okay.
I would have been right there. Like, wow. Makeup's amazing. I, you know, would have just assumed.
He's so good with computers.
Yes.
But that is why he's there. And
maybe he's going to, like, run Bob's books.
Oh, maybe. Plus, he's not drinking Bob's milk out of the fridge.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Maybe this is the thing. Just let this guy run a scam if he's not interfering with your business.
Bob doesn't even know he's running a scam.
Bob doesn't know anything.
Like, Bob is not really in tune to that. So
you know what Bob's got to do? He's got to get over to the town council. What is he doing?
Oh, true.
Hanging around his
he
shop.
He does have a meeting.
Yes.
Well, he needed to be there, I'm sure, to usher Johnny out the door.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, I guess that's, he probably was like, will you come and show up? And then yeah,
he's basically,
smooth things over.
Yeah, he's basically security. He's going to walk Bob, or he's going to walk Johnny in his cardboard box
security.
out of his place.
Geez.
Now we're back.
At
we're back to a different office.
Yeah.
The motel office. And
of course, we see Jake and Stevie hanging out in the office lobby area on the couch.
Right.
To which David arrives.
Right. So David thinks that they're probably gossiping about him. I'm assuming that's probably his thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I just figured he came in and was just like completely caught off guard. Like,
oh,
wait a minute. Like,
yes,
just,
right.
But I don't.
But why
don't
else
know.
Would he be there? Or why else would these two be chatting and having such a great time?
Yeah, but he already knows that Stevie had also made a connection with him.
Yeah,
so
you're
he's
right.
Probably thinking like, okay, he left.
Yeah.
You know, he left me, so now he is going and, you know, checking in with Stevie to see how she's doing.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, I didn't get the impression that he thought they were talking about him. I mean, maybe, because we know, like, he's not always the most self, you know, secure person.
Right, yeah.
So maybe,
yeah,
but that
I was
wasn't
just,
really what I was
okay.
thinking.
Okay, I was just thinking that in his mind, he's probably freaking out because he has slept with both of them, and now they're just hanging out. Talking and
that
might make him
very
maybe. Uncomfortable.
Well, right, yeah. So they have a little, you know, kind of surprise encounter. Jake, you know, when it's time for him to head out, he kisses all of them goodbye.
It's very funny. It's
and
like, I love how it shows both of their reactions.
Right,
to
they're
him kissing the other person,
caught off guard and surprised. And I really think this is like their ultimate discovery. Like, wait a minute, like.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a single encounter at the in the barn.
Right, yes.
Or behind the barn,
yes,
I should say.
Or also
but this is
after
like
the
a
whole,
legit thing.
Yeah, or after the whole barn thing, Stevie could have thought that he was lying, and he probably thought that Stevie was lying.
Right.
And this really shows both of them, oh, everything
like,
in the barn probably
this
did
is,
happen.
Yeah,
and,
this is all true,
yes.
And we are both seeing this guy
right
now. Literally back to back.
Oh, they're both freaking out, too,
right,
once he leaves.
Right,
it's
because
so great.
He obviously had just left David, of course.
Right.
You know, so they have kind of a, like, a little bit of a horrified conversation. Like, obviously horrified about each other, but then they sort of realize, like, you know, they're kind of saying, well, I don't want your sloppy seconds.
Right, yes.
But then I think it's David that makes the realization of, like, maybe this is sloppy thirds.
Yeah,
like, who knows
who
else he has on the go right now.
I do think it's very funny how he spent the night with Stevie and then just, like, went
right
to
the... He brought her to work.
Yes,
and then went to David and then went back to Stevie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, he's totally chill about this whole situation. And, you know, more power to him. He's, you know,
sure.
A good-looking guy. He's probably like, yeah, this is probably his norm, I would think.
Oh, I'm going to assume as much. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, they clearly are starting to get to like a little bit of a level of discomfort over this relationship triangle that they have going on.
Right.
Yes.
But from here, once they're thoroughly freaked out, we do get to go to town council.
Yes, Moira's there. She needs to know what time is curtain so that she can prepare for her big meeting. Yeah, it's kind of a quick interaction, I think. It just
it's
arriving and kind of getting ready for the meeting.
I do like how she's talking to, I guess it's the other members of the council are all standing
there. Yeah, Ronnie's
there,
I think. And
she refers
Roland
to them
and Bob.
As if they see us half, if they see that we have half given up on ourselves, like criticizing the way that they're dressed, the way that they're presenting themselves.
They, of course, are dressed like they're normal, dressed like they've always day.
Been yeah, dressed. Yeah, like at how town you would council, dress
right? for a casual day. Yeah, yes. They look completely fine. But yeah, she's expecting that they need to be like,
right.
you know, dressed up and ready to perform, I think.
Yep. And this is when we go, and I enjoy this because I think this might only be the second time so far in the series that we've seen people sitting outside of the cafe, this outer seating area. Yeah, I feel like
cute little tables.
Yeah, I feel like David and Stevie were sitting outside once.
They did after they had the party, the dinner party at Ted with Ted and Alexis at Ted's apartment. I think they ended up sitting there. Like she left, remember, and he followed her.
Right.
And I feel like they were outside the cafe at that point.
Maybe you're, then maybe it's three times. Because I don't know. Think,
it was dark and everything at that point.
I think during the day they were out there when he invited her to games night. I think they were outside as well. Yes, I believe you're right.
Because
so.
She was then looking through like her phone for other, a sixth person to invite.
But I always like this because it does feel, you know, when they're inside it feels like a set. I know it's, you know. Whatever. It doesn't feel like, no, it doesn't look like a set, but you know it's a set. But I love this, like, on location. It's nice to see the
outside shots.
Yeah, it's like anytime they're outside of the motel. I really enjoy that.
Painting fences and such, washing trucks.
Sure, yes, that. Yeah. But I also like the fact that, and it's kind of a joke, and Ted makes it a joke, but I like the fact that she has set up an app.
Oh, totally. So the clients can schedule their
own appointments.
And it will really save her from having to do all that phone answering that she was hired to do, basically. But, yeah, you know, she's trying some things. She's invested in her job.
Sure.
Or invested in making her job less than what it is, I guess.
Right. Making her job easier.
Right.
You know, working smarter, not working harder, let's say that.
Super convenient.
Oh, yeah. No,
I would love to be able to make appointments online for any appointment I need to schedule.
Everything. I would love that. Agreed. Yes.
So, yeah. So I think she's definitely like, I think it's a smart, smart
But I do like how Ted basically is like, well, then what are you going to do?
Right. Of course. Yeah. And as they're having their little chat, Mutt shows up. We haven't, we saw him at the end of the last season, but we haven't really... You know, seen him checking in with Ted and Alexis as often, but he's taking a trip with Tennessee / Tallahassee as Alexis.
Yeah, we don't get the details of this trip till later.
Oh, right. They're going to drive up the coast.
Boy, oh boy, is this a trip.
Yeah. And they really have no plan. It sounds like a very, kind of just...
It's a very...
Wherever the winds blow them, that's where they're going.
Well, at least that's the way Mutt presents it, because it's a very Mutt thing to do.
Yeah.
Once we find out what's really happening, that's the least Mutt thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Ted's basically like, this would be a nightmare
for
him, not having anything planned out or set in stone or, you know, pre-planning, whereas Alexis thinks this is very adventurous.
Sure, yeah. But he does mention how he needs someone to watch his barn and water the plants.
Right, yes. So he kind of says Alexis, if she needs to, could use the barn while he's away.
And... Here's my question. To me, it only feels like this is said to set up the joke at the end, where it's really good at the end when it pays off and everything. But why does Ted say, is that weird? Like...
What do you mean?
After Mutt walks away, he looks at Alexis and says, is that weird? Like, I didn't know what he was referring to. The interaction with Mutt? The fact that Mutt would ask her to water his plants?
I'm assuming. Okay. Yeah, like... You guys broke up. You're not together. Why would you go there and watch his space? Unless he still wanted to have some kind of like connection.
All right. Okay.
I guess. I'm assuming that's what he meant.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to town council.
Town council. Yes.
Because someone in town council has a question for town council.
Someone in town council. A question for town council. Jeez. Back up. Someone attending the meeting has a question for town council.
Right. Someone attending the meeting has a question for town council. And let's talk about her first. She is only credited as town council woman or town. Oh, boy, I didn't write it down. Okay.
But this, she wasn't credited with as a named character.
This actress, her name is Greta Onyegu. She is Russian.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Hmm. So after a single episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, she
Which
got...
I think many...
definitely.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek people were in that.
Yeah, she had a main role for 50 episodes of the series Heartland, which we just talked about. The director directed episodes of that. And since Schitt's Creek, she's popped up in things like Working Moms, as many people have popped up in that.
Yeah.
And is a main player in the TV series All American, which has been airing since 2019.
Okay. Go so ahead. At the council meeting, the town council person that you just referenced.
Right. Yes.
She stands up, and her big concern is that they need to extend the daycare by a half an hour.
Right.
Simply because, you know, it would be nice, I guess, for working parents to be able to have a little bit of extra time to pick up their children.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it's a reasonable request, I guess, but
yeah.
I think we could quickly see what's happening, because basically Roland says, we'll think about it,
right,
and we'll take it under consideration.
Yeah, we can consider that.
Fine.
But Moira is just ready to make big change.
Oh, she's
and please
promising
everybody,
this, yes.
And she's totally promising that we need to avoid homeless toddlers and make sure our children are safe. But yeah, she wants to stand by everyone in the community, basically. Like, she...
Yeah, she wants to be the big hero. She, listen, she didn't get the people's vote, let's say. She got this position through...
Well, Jocelyn just kind of stepped down.
I'm trying to think of the word.
I know. I can't think of it either.
It?
I don't
she would say withdrawn.
No.
Kind of like that. Conceded.
Yeah.
Jocelyn conceded, so that's why
like
she
I
got this.
Think of it either.
Yeah, so I really feel like she wants to be liked. She wants to do things to certainly help these people. And she wants to, I think more than anything, she wants to make changes. Like, she wants...
She wants to make this town more...
Yes, right. I do like how she uses the examples of how the mother may need extra time for the manicure.
Right,
And the father is trapped in a mine?
Yeah.
What is she doing?
I don't even know. Yeah.
It's very funny.
I also think she's used to being a planner, you know? Like,
sure.
We know she's planned charity events.
Right.
And she is used to people taking notice, and she's used to taking charge, and she's used to people listening to her, and... You know, she's assuming that this
And when
will...
money is no option, or it's not your money, I'm sure that that's nothing she's ever really had to consider before.
Right. And then they kind of realize, like, all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, we need to backpedal a little bit on this and take a break.
But she gets the applause that she wants.
Yeah. Yeah. But Roland kind of says, like, this is not Sunrise Bay. Like,
right.
We can't just make promises about things. And, you know, they kind of, and Ronnie's like, you know, it's not a matter of money. Like, it's a matter of money. Not importance, you know.
Yeah.
Because she was like, this is important. We need to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are obviously more town-minded and financial, making financial sense and everything. So they need to do a little backpedaling and kind of figure out, now, how are we going to handle this situation?
Right. And, of course, Roland ends it with welcome to the show, which is super fun.
Yeah.
Because she realizes halfway through this discussion with the rest of town council. I also like how Bob didn't go to the bathroom. They said he could go during the break.
Right.
And he's like, the line's getting really long and I don't know how much longer we're doing this. Right. I love how Ryan just looks at him. She's like, yeah, go use the bathroom.
Yeah.
But one thing, and we don't really talk a whole lot about camera work, and we have in the past, and we've talked about how certain... entire episodes will end, whether they end at the motel or not. I noticed that after they applaud for her, the people that are there at town council, it fades to black like it's a commercial break. I don't think I've ever seen that in this show at all.
But did that do that because we were watching it on Netflix?
I don't know, because... I mean,
well,
if you were watching it live, I'm sure it would go to a commercial.
Well, maybe that was a fun little effect, because they said, welcome to the show. The lights go
no,
down.
No, it was before that.
Oh,
it was
okay.
It was after the applause, it faded to black, and then it came back in with her conversation with them.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was almost because they jump back and forth, and we talk about how they rarely go from one scene and stay with the same scene after a break. They're doing that here, and I just thought it was a little bit bizarre. Because they
didn't
never
even
do
pick
that.
Up on it. Okay.
But, earlier, Johnny mentioned he had a meeting with a client.
Oh, yes. That's true. We forgot to mention
I forgot all about this, but even in my notes, I was like, what client? How is he setting up meetings? And this can't be the first meeting he's had. And I wondered, since he got that office space, what he was doing. And we finally, I guess, kind of understand what he's been doing.
Yeah, I think he's at least trying to do. He's just looking for projects to be able to bring to Schitt's Creek.
To Schitt's Creek, yeah.
Yeah, businesses and stuff.
Yes. I guess in the long run, to make the town more attractive to be purchased?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We never really hear mention again or that about, you know, the purchase of the town and selling the town. And I mean, I guess that's always in the back of his mind, at least initially.
Yeah, sure.
But there isn't really a solid mention of that.
But he is meeting with Amy Grace.
Yes, not Amy. Amy Grace.
Amy Grace.
At the cafe.
Yep.
Right there in a booth.
Yes.
Yes.
She is played by Kristen Hager.
Mm-hmm.
She had early roles in films like Alien vs. Predator, Requiem, and Wanted, the Angelina Jolie action film, as well as the Bob Dylan biopic, I'm Not There.
Okay.
After that, she showed up in some Canadian shows that we talked about, like The Expanse and Gotham, mm-hmm. and she's been making the rounds on CSIs mm-hmm. and NCISs. She also had a big role in the series Being Human. We've talked about all these people. They just, I guess this is what you do if you're a Canadian working actor. They must just film all of this stuff in and around the same location. And these people walk from one set to the other.
Yeah.
She most recently was the main star in a series called Condor that I've never heard of.
And she's very into Screamnastics, apparently. You didn't mention that.
No, I did not mention that.
Because that's her business venture that Johnny is kind of interested in.
Yes.
Not really that. I mean, it's an established business, I guess.
Right. It's a combination, if you're not sure what Screamnastics are, it's a combination of gymnastics, scream therapy, and juicing.
Extreme juicing.
Extreme juicing. Right.
Yes, and Johnny is really trying to convince her that she should start a franchise in Schitt's Creek.
Right.
I cannot imagine anybody in this town
going
and doing that.
No.
Yeah, no. I can't imagine any people doing that, period. But especially not people in
Schitt's
Creek.
I feel like this is Amy Grace and a collection of 10 of her friends are doing this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, is it like a trampoline park?
Oh, I have all the questions in the world about what this is.
Like, I don't know.
It's gym. Do you just like run toward the pommel horse screaming?
I don't know.
And then have juice afterwards?
I don't know.
Beforehand?
And do they teach you how to do like floor exercises and uneven parallel bars or what?
I don't know. And it's also,
it would be fun to find out.
Like, scream therapy was a thing in the 70s. For like a hot minute. Mm-hmm. Like, it never went beyond 1979. So mm-hmm. I like the fact that she's taking something like gymnastics that every 10-year-old does and scream therapy, a thing nobody ever does mm-hmm. anymore, and combining them and then jamming like a juice craze in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite part of this is when Johnny talks about a screamnasium. And she says, we don't call them that. Why wouldn't you?
Oh,
that's a perfect name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I can think of, too, is, you know how, like, you can jump into those big pits with, like, the foam
blocks? The
foam?
Sure, yeah.
Like, that would make sense. I could see that.
As what?
Like, that, like, because you can't, I don't know, they can't, like.
You mean scream in there?
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay. After jumping in there. Like, that is low. They don't need to teach you how to do any kind of gymnastic elements. I think you jump on trampolines and you jump into those pits with the foam blocks.
I mean, if you think about those places where kids go to jump on trampolines and jump into those pits, those kids are screaming all the time. So that's pretty
it's probably
much
what it is,
just
right?
like this. But I guess for adults.
Yeah. I've never had the pleasure of going to them. Anytime that our kids have gone, I believe you have taken them.
I've
missed out on
that
opportunity.
That was all of two times.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've never had to do that.
It's very cool in that. I kind of wanted to do it.
Well, you should have.
I'd be the only adult. It would be weird.
Mm-mm, yeah.
Yeah. You can't. You'll double jump a 5-year-old off a trampoline and they'll get hurt.
Totally. Or you'll get hurt.
I would get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're an old adult trying to jump on trampolines.
I'm not, an old. Not a good I'm not just an adult. I'm an old adult.
All right. Well, anyway, so Amy Grace is not digging this idea at all. She is not interested. They live in a quote unquote rural community, and they people in a rural. I can't say that word. Rural community really don't have any interest in health or inner or outer beauty. She tells them.
I love that.
I know she's so mean. I really don't like her.
She's super mean.
Yeah,
yes.
She really is. Like yeah. She's yeah. She said, you know, they talked about maybe they could circle back in 6 months, and Johnny's like, maybe we could circle back in 3 months. But no, like, she's so mean to him and just is really, like, as she walks away, she's like, oh, I was so sorry to hear about what happened. She's super bitchy.
Yeah, it's, you don't need to say the things that she said, which right. is basically, like, I only took this meeting because you used to be friends with my parents right. or something. Like, it's yeah. a very strange
yeah, no.
thing.
She's super.
But this also makes me wonder that they're probably not that far from where they were super rich. Like, already we had those people driving their kid to college, and now
passing
she was able
through.
To make this trip here. And I think yeah. if she's flying across the country, I don't care if someone's friends with your parents or not. She knows she's not going to do this
right.
going into this meeting.
Yeah.
And I don't think
yeah,
it would have been...
Yeah, it was
been...
just like a
I do
FaceTime.
Like how he almost apologizes for the fact that they're meeting at a cafe, which, like... It's no more impressive than if you're in the back of Bob's garage.
Oh, totally. I think
if
the cafe
anything, it's
is a
nicer
environment.
Right?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. But so, yeah, no, she's terrible.
Right. Yes.
And clearly, it has a really negative impact on Johnny, obviously, which we'll talk about
yes,
later on.
Yes, definitely.
Which is like it's sad, and it makes you hate her even more.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know.
But let's go to Jake's.
Woodshop.
Yes, because Stevie and David decide to confront Jake
yes.
at his woodshop studio.
Yes.
I love the fact that he's totally like, I thought you guys knew.
Like, I thought you knew. Like, yeah. Which he figured they were cool with it.
Right.
And they were like, well, we're not cool
oh,
with
the,
it. Like
their reaction of trying to be cool or yeah. not wanting to be the one person in this thruple, let's call it, that
which
isn't
coming
cool
up
with
next.
It.
Yeah.
I just love how they, like, neither of them wants to be the wet blanket
oh, yes,
of this
the
whole
wet
thing.
Blanket. Oh, man.
And I also think it's, you know, and I mean, I think we don't need to defend Jake, but I think the other thing is he kind of is aware that they're friends. He's
yeah.
aware that they talk to each other. Like, mm-hmm. For all he knows, they did know. Like, for all he knows,
right.
they did talk about it.
Yeah.
I do think it's pretty crummy how he didn't bring it up. You would figure maybe he would tell
But I think,
them.
Again, I think he's just super
this
laid
is just
back.
Him.
This
yeah.
is just him. Like, relationships are very casual to him,
right.
I think. And
yeah.
he's, I just think he doesn't
yeah.
even think this is an issue. I'm sure this has been a situation he's in. I don't know if I want to say often, but before, like, I'm
right.
sure he is having flings and
oh, yeah.
threesomes
right.
and who knows what else, you
yes.
know, like a lot of interesting relationship coupling.
Which is also, he's so casual. If one of them at this point was like, no, I'm not cool with this, he'd be like, that's all right. Don't
yeah.
worry. Like, it's,
yeah.
it's
like,
really,
okay.
it's
then,
a really funny interaction
you know.
Between three people who are on totally different
yeah.
wavelengths
yeah.
or comfort levels with this.
Yeah.
So now we go back to town council.
Right.
I like how town council puts it on Moira to resolve this issue.
Oh,
it is kind of great.
A hot mess disaster because she's like, we need to circle back. And now I'm going to argue the other side of the issue. So then, of course, the people that are attending this meeting can not get any kind of clear picture
oh, they have no
as
idea
to what
what's
the council's
right.
stand
yes.
on this daycare issue is at all.
She brings up the fact that when she was a kid, that was our time.
Right.
The time between daycare and when your parents got home
right,
and
yeah.
no one was going to take away our time.
Right,
she
yeah.
brings up
so
Big Brother
like,
at one point.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah, no, she kind of, yeah. So they have no idea what's going on. They're like, so what is your answer? And
mm-hmm.
Roland kind of steps in and saves her. And he's like, we'll think about her.
Right, yeah. You and know? Just the disappointment on her face when she looks at Roland and just realizes that she is in way over her head is really fun.
Yeah.
So now let's go to Mutt's barn.
Yeah, Alexis and Ted, we're back to them. They are there to pick up the keys, which you can tell the first person they encounter once they arrive is Tennessee, who is incredibly uncomfortable with the fact that
Mutt
had even, once she kind of learns that, you know, Alexis is coming to get the keys and she's going to be looking after things in the barn, she's really caught off guard about it, annoyed. She didn't know about it. Yeah. She's not sure why Mutt didn't tell her, and she is not happy.
But I also feel like Tennessee is going into this conversation annoyed. I imagine from time she told Mutt what they were doing, they've been arguing about this. Like, she seems nothing, it wouldn't take much to set her off in this situation. And just the fact that Alexis is there,
right?
Yeah, it makes her, she is not into this.
Yeah.
But she talks about they're going for a pine cone harvest.
Yeah, they're meeting friends too. They're not just doing this on their own. Yes, that's there's other people that want to go on pine cone harvests.
Yes.
And yeah, they said it sounds like a very cathartic journey. Right. And Mutt, I think it was Mutt that's like, well, I think it's weird. Or something like that. Yes, like somebody says, like, I think it's weird.
Right. And I will again, because I see this a lot too on these, really bringing up these Facebook pages, which are all great. I'm assuming people that listen to us know those pages exist.
Oh, totally. I'm sure.
I find myself
they
like,
follow them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many discussions as to where this takes place.
Pacific Northwest is what it makes me think of.
100%. Totally. When she says we're just going to drive
I envision
the coast
a place
until
that we
visited
in Oregon, like, without a doubt. Like,
it makes
they're
me,
at a little Stuga, which is where we went to Portland and stayed outside of Portland.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
I feel like this takes place in Northern California.
Right.
They used to live in the...
They talked about driving up the coast, which would also support that idea.
And up the coast till you see pine trees.
Yeah.
Like, that makes total sense. I'm 100% positive now this takes place in Northern California.
Yeah, maybe.
So... So that's what they're going to do.
Right.
Ted's, or not Ted, Mutt's like packing the car and just seems aggravated by this whole thing.
Right. And as they walk away and leave and have the keys and they're like, let's get out of here. Alexis is like, I will not be watering those plants.
Because she says,
really...
you're right, that is weird. Yeah. I'm not going to water those plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very fun. Mutt's relationship with Tennessee seems strained, to say the least, I guess. And so now let's end the episode. Let's go back to the motel.
Yes. And Moira's just kind of, it's kind of relaxing and hanging out. And Jocelyn brings home
figure out what happened today at town
council. Right, yeah, probably. Jocelyn brings home a very drunk Johnny.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so Moira says, you smell like my mother. She tells him.
Funny.
Yeah, and Johnny really is having a very difficult time dealing with the after effects of his meeting with Amy Grace. Because things really start to... And Johnny is always, like, he is, like, a little bit like the eternal optimist. Like,
right.
I feel like he always, you know, has been the one that is really working hard to get everybody into a good place with being in the situation that they're in. And he's always trying to make things better.
Yes.
And he's always consoling everyone else.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
and we've talked about it in the past, on past episodes. He's the one that seems to be, at least outwardly, doing the best with this transition.
Yeah.
And everyone else is struggling.
Yeah, and he is struggling. He feels like he's not looking after his family.
Right.
And, you know, he's really just having a difficult time with not being able to bring some change to get them out of there, I guess, still.
Yeah, and we've seen this over the past two seasons, is that... The roles have really switched with David getting a job and becoming more independent. I know he doesn't have that job anymore, but he did. He got
a
nice big check.
Right.
Alexis now has a job. She has full-time employment. Moira's now on town council. And Johnny sees that this whole
business thing
that he had isn't working out at all. So he seems very lost.
Yeah.
And I think it really is. He seems to think that nobody really needs him anymore, I think.
Yeah. You know, so Moira's really trying. She plays the Johnny role. Like, yeah. She's trying to reassure him he's a good man. The good man always wins.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of Wine and Roses. Now he's drunk and she's the one who has to talk him down.
Yeah. But of course, it's, you know, kind of the cherry on top is when David wonders if he's thrown up yet.
Right, yes.
As they're like, I don't know, do they say they're like getting ready for bed?
He tells them to go to bed and she's like, it's 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, but now we go to the next day.
Next morning at the cafe.
Yes.
Everybody's eating breakfast. Johnny's sunglasses on, as Moira did.
That's right, yes.
Yes. And he's super hungover, and the kids are having a field day with it.
I do like to think that this is just a running joke with this family. However many times they lived in that palatial mansion that one of them walked downstairs to breakfast in sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to think this didn't just start to happen when they moved to Schitt's Creek, that this was just something they do as a family.
Yes. No, they're super cute. You know, Alexis orders the fish. And David just wants a bowl of room temperature hollandaise sauce. Yep. And then they ask Twyla if she can just make it a little brighter.
Yeah.
In the
And Twyla's up for it. She's like, I'll be back with your fish and your sauce.
Yeah.
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 It's very funny.
And then they want to have a toast to celebrate his resilience.
Yep. Clinking glasses very loudly right in front of him.
Yes. To which he said he is sitting at another table. Right.
And that's the end. How this episode ends.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every one of our episodes, we rank the Schitt's Creek episodes on our favorite to our least favorite Schitt's Creek episodes. So Carla, I will ask you, if this episode were one of Mutt's houseplants, would you water it or just leave it to die while he's
out gallivanting through pine cones?
Skipping through fields of pine cones.
I like this episode, definitely. I think there's some really fun things that are in it. I probably would kind of like lump it in the middle with some of my other ones.
Sure.
You know, it's not one that specifically stands out to me that I think of as a favorite. But it's, you know, it's still one that I definitely would have enjoyed. I would say maybe it's my new number 17, I'd say.
17.
Yeah, kind of like,
so right, you know, under Carl's funeral.
Right under Carl's funeral. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to put this one a little bit higher than you.
Okay.
Not much higher. I'm going to put mine at my new number 13.
Oh.
Because it's good. I mean, there's enough happening here that's fun and entertaining.
Everybody's busy in this episode.
Yes,
everybody has like a little spotlighted moment.
Right. Yes.
Which doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
As much in some other ones.
Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy with the amount of time we spend with Jake. I mean, it's not a ton of time. Mm-hmm. I do like the introduction to him though at the beginning, much better than when they talk to him later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just. It's fun. It kind of closes down the Johnny office thing, which is something that I felt like they didn't do as much with in season 2 as they maybe should have. So I'm kind of sad to see that go, but we weren't really doing much with it anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where I'm going to put it.
All right.
And thank you everybody again for listening. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time where we'll be discussing the second episode of season 3, The Thruple. So until we talk to you in 2 weeks, have a great 2 weeks.
Yeah. Warmest regards.